Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the Coach K and Joe Show. The Coach K and Joe Show is brought to you by Idea Fusion Media, Hubler and Sons of Jasper and Vincennes, Harmon Dental Care, and by Jasper Today. Now, here's Joe Milligan and Ken Coach K Schultheis.
Hello and welcome to the Season 2 premiere of the Coach K and Joe Show. I'm Joe Milligan, and I'm joined, as always, by Coach K, Ken Schultheis. Coach, are you fired up for Season 2, or what's the deal?
Joe, I feel like a bear coming out of hibernation. I'm just ready to hunt, excited for Season 2, excited that we're able to come back, and excited to have a new audience, a growing audience, and possibly some other things in the work which we will share with our listeners down the road. But welcome to our audience, both live and on podcast later on, to the second season of the Coach K and Joe Show.
And, you know, we got a great, you know, list of guests today. We've got Mike Pegram from Pegs.com on here to talk about IU football and IU basketball. And we've got Sean Morrison. He's the beat writer for Purdue from the Fort Wayne Journal-Gazette. We'll be on at 11. And, you know, we'll have Kurt Gutzel on to help us preview some of the local football teams. And then we'll add Gook and Don Schultheis on for the always popular rant.
Yeah, and I'm interested to hear Mike Pegram talk a little bit about the Hoosiers, both football-wise and basketball. Of course, we had a decommitment from a major signee with the men's basketball team, so it'll be interesting to get any thoughts, if he can share any with us at this time. And Don, of course, will come on and talk a little bit about what's going on in Indy. Not a whole lot on the hoop side, although we have had some movement up in from major players in the Indianapolis area and also in Evansville, going from the high school to the prep school ranks. And I'm not a big fan of that, but we'll probably get into that a little bit as well. And of course, there is a myriad of things going on in the sports world, both local, in the state, and nationally. And for those new to the show, listening to the show both live or on podcast, we are located out of the southern Indiana area, and we will talk a lot about sports in the state of Indiana, in the tri-state area, as well as Midwest and nationally. So if you hear us talking a little bit about things going on in Indiana, that's because we are located. The show originates out of the state of Indiana.
Yeah, and, you know, you're talking about IU basketball, you know, in Indiana high school basketball. I mean, you know, I guess what frustrates me is I know they've got to get ready for college, but I guess the luster of winning that state championship and wearing that number one jersey, I guess for some kids it's just not that big of a draw anymore.
Well, I think it's a cultural thing, Joe. We've talked before, I'm a big believer that if you let 4 or 5 years of change go by, it alters the perception and the cultural outlook of whether you're young or old at how you view things. And with AAU basketball and AAU baseball, all kinds of different AAU-type sports and the different types of camps that are out there, I think it has changed and altered how some of our young men and our young women look at representing their state, representing their school, their community. I mean, it really is. It's altering their perception of the importance of representing their community as well. And we'll get into some of that as we go on. And, of course, when we come back from break, we'll want to talk a little bit about the Little League World Series that is going on. And it's not the Little League World Series, but the Babe Ruth World Series. And there's a local team from the state of Indiana, actually from our local community, Jasper, Indiana. The Jasper Babe Ruth 14-under All-Star team is headed out, as we speak, on a plane to Seattle, Washington, for the Babe Ruth National Championship or World Series.
Yeah, I got a nephew on the team, Connor O'Brien, and we're awfully proud of him, and we're excited about about the prospects of those kids going out and representing Jasper the way they are. I do want to mention too for our listeners, we do take callers, and I wanted to give that number real fast. So get your pen out and piece of paper. It is 773-897-6325. That's 773-897-6325. And I'm sure Coach K would love to field any questions about politics or anything.
Nothing we won't talk about. I just got a text from a listener, an avid listener of the show, Nicole Cyril, originally from Jasper, and her grandparents, Al Schuler and Roseanne Schuler, teachers, long-time teachers in Greater Jasper. She's an avid listener out of Indianapolis, but she's all over the world because of her job. It takes her any place and every place. But we're excited to have people listening to our second season, and I so much anticipation, Joe. I want to talk about some of our expansion plans, but we're just not quite there yet. So we've got to keep it locked for at least another week.
Yeah, we'll be releasing that as soon as possible. We released it somewhat, but you always got to dot the I's and cross the T's, as I said, and I'm pretty confident that those will be done soon, and we'll be able to release that information very, very soon. So.
Well, I guess we'll take our first break, and when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about some things going on in the sports world. We want to definitely touch on Johnny Manziel. We want to definitely touch on A-Rod a little bit. Don Mattingly and his Dodgers are on a roll. A lot of good things going on, whether it's amateur, college, or professional sports. We're here to talk about it on the Coach K and Joe Show.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean, modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit ideafusionmedia.com. That's ideafusionmedia.com.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar Chevy Cadillac in Jasper. Have you ever heard a car ad that looks too good to be true or has fast-talking fine print?
Buy before midnight tonight. Maybe okay, maybe not. You probably aren't eligible for this event. Ubelar's prices are better, but you can't know that.
You want to hear Ubelar's fine print? That's right, silence. Our prices will save you money, huge inventory, even bigger discounts. Ubelar & Son Chevy Cadillac in Jasper, where customers send their friends since 1929.
Buddy, hold up, man. I'm not talking to you. You keep going.
I want to tell you, man, I was sorry about having to practice today.
Don't be sorry.
Don't you understand, man? If you don't cool it out there, you're going to end up getting yourself killed.
If I cool it, I won't be helping you guys get ready for the next week's games. Got it?
I got it.
He's just a showboat, man. That's all he's about.
He's just doing his job, Jamie. Can't it?
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tom Deanhart of the Big Ten Network, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show. And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. And, Coach, you heard that disclaimer at the end from Tom Deanhart, and, talked to Tom this week, and he's actually on that Big Ten caravan right now for the football season, kind of busy right now, but he's promised as soon as the caravan's over, he will become a regular guest on our show again.
Yeah, Tom does a great job contributing to the show. And folks, you need to go to BigTenNetwork.com and read all of Tom's articles, columns. He just really gives you the in-depth stuff that's going on in the Big Ten. And that roadshow is pretty neat. I don't know if our listeners have been able to catch what's going on in the Big Ten Network, but they are going from college town to college town in the Big Ten previewing the football season, and it's been a lot of fun to watch. It's been great to get the insight on the early season, get the information on the teams, and then kind of be able to put that together and watch the process play out and watch Tom and the rest of the guys as they talk about the Big Ten football season going forward. And Joe, the Big Ten Network just does a great job.
If you're a Big Ten fan, you got to love it. If you're an SEC fan, you think you've got world by the backside because you're just great. I mean, guess what? We have the Big Ten Network. You don't. So there.
And the Big Ten is coming. I really like what's going on. Obviously, Ohio State, Michigan are always up there at the top. O'Brien's doing a great job at Penn State. Coach Haslell will do a great job at Purdue. And then, of course, Coach Wilson's building something at IU along with the rest of the teams. We need to see that progress continue. But we'll be talking about the Big Ten later in the show and IU football and Purdue football. And so we'll get into a little bit more of that. But really, tune in when Tom's on the show and get some keen insight on the Big Ten. Hey, Joe, one thing that I wanted to spend a few minutes on as we're talking before we go to break and then bring Mike Pegram back on. Let's give a little more of a shout-out to the Jasper Babe Ruth All-Stars. That's a great accomplishment. Of course, they're going out to the state of Washington, actually playing at Moses Lake, Washington, but flying into Seattle. And I at least wanted to give a shout-out to members of the team so, you know, our listeners can have an idea. This is the Babe Ruth team, and they're going out to play in what would be the version of the Little League World Series, the Babe Ruth Championship. And members of the team are Jake Ruxer, Reese Kleinhelter, Andrew Hoeksong, Ethan Schrader, Cale Killian, Andrew Schmidt, Tanner Egbert, Cam Hickey, a lot of the traditional Jasper and DuBois County names, Connor O'Brien, Mason Tavis, Adam Hettinger, Evan Aders, Jared Sermersheim, just a nice group of guys there doing a great job and really playing a dream, living a dream right now. You go and play all those games, you grow up in Little League and you move on and you say, you watch these other teams on TV and you read about them, and here they are, they've got a chance to participate in something nationally like this.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just been a great accomplishment for those kids, and they've worked hard. They play a lot of ball, you know, and it shows. And you know, maybe next week if they're not playing, you know, maybe we can get Coach Egbert or Coach Kleinhelter on the show, and you know, maybe, you know, see how things are going. I know they start play Sunday, I think at noon, so and they're going to be gone for, I think they said upwards to a week to 10 days. So maybe, you know, stay tuned to the Coach K and Joe show, and we maybe hope try to get one of the coaches on. You know, one of the coaches we will have on next week, I think I'm probably going to let you do the whole interview because I talked to her enough. Is, you know, my wife, Liz, is the new volleyball coach at Jasper, and that's a big thing in itself. But the big news for next week will be, on the 27th, Jasper will have its first varsity sporting event in the brand new gym, which is beautiful. And
it's a beautiful arena. I was able to get in there the other day, and actually before they actually took ownership of it from at Jasper High School, snuck in there, Joe. And as I've told you several times, I hit a 3-point shot at every goal, and I know for a fact that Coach K is the first guy to do that in that new arena.
Yeah, now you've bragged about that, so I've heard that multiple times since you did it. And I told Liz there's really no pressure on her. She's playing the first game. You know, she's either going to be known as the first varsity coach to win an event in the new gym, or the first varsity coach to lose an event in the new gym. So she's going to make history no matter what. So hopefully it's a win, because she's a sore loser, and it's a lot nicer around the house if she wins. So.
Well, she'll do a great job. She knows what she's doing, and she's got a good group of young ladies to work with, and I'm sure they'll have a victory to celebrate over Heritage Hills in that first game. Speaking of the Baseball Little League World Series, Joe, that is on, right, on ESPN this week. Was able to catch a few games, was able to catch some of the regional games that were feeding in, taking teams to champions to feed into the Little League World Series. I find it absolutely amazing that when they show the international games, how big some of those young men are. And I don't say young boys, young men. And there's always a question about their age and their birth certificates at the Little League World Series.
Every year, there's you see some of those kids, and they're just giants, and it's kind of weird, because, you know, it's always on the opposite side, you know, that's doing that, and so, you know, it's quite interesting that topic comes up all the time.
Yeah, and even feeding into those into the Little League World Series when they did the regional championship series. Michigan, I don't know if you watched them play any, Joe, but Michigan had a young man, 12 years old, get this, 6'2". He was 6'2", 200 pounds, 12-year-old, starting first baseman and pitcher. They won their regional championship. I think Tennessee might have defeated them. I could be wrong on that, but I'm telling you, this guy was enormous, good-looking young man, squared-off jaw, looked like he was about 25 and playing college football for somebody, 23, somewhere in there. But it's really interesting to watch how these young guys grow at different times. Of course, most of them are 5 foot, 5'2", 5'3", 88 pounds, 98 pounds, 115 pounds, but occasionally – the American teams, the teams from the United States, will have one of those young men big and tall early in their career. But when you see the international teams come in, it's just amazing how big and how mature some of those young boys are, if they are the age that they say they are. But the Little League World Series, folks, if you haven't watched it, check it out on ESPN. It's a great tournament to watch. It's true competition. It's raw emotion. These young guys are out there playing their heart and soul. A lot of the coaches are dads from the little leagues that have played and coached for years and years, and now they're on the big stage in Pennsylvania. And it's really exciting. If you love the raw simplicity and emotion of sport, I think the Little League World Series is one of the best things that you can watch on TV, and ESPN has it. And, Joe, you had a young son, Reese, and he was playing on a very, very good team. They did not win in the state tournament, but they were a team that, at least on paper from their past success, looked like a team that maybe could go on to the region championships. And there's just a lot of competition out there, and these young men have to be ready to play every time out.
Well, you know, they won state when they were 11, and at 12s at the district level, when they played in the East District, I mean, it was just they played just like they'd played last year. And, you know, but they learned an important lesson. You got to play every game, and they played Evansville Golf War, and they got a little guy who threw a bunch of junk, you know, and they were the type of team that you're going to sit there and try to throw the ball past them. They're gonna put a lot of balls over the wall. And, that wasn't their night. They got beat by a run, and, you know, they have to live with it. But yeah, you're right. They, you know, they had a couple of men on that team too, you know, and that's kind of what it takes. And, you know, but I'm not sure after watching some of this stuff on TV, I'm not sure that we had enough men for that. Some of these teams are humongous, you know, I mean,
yeah,
it's just amazing.
They really are. But let me ask you a question. And I know that it was going to be a long road, but going into this Little League All-Star series with a 12-year-old, knowing that ultimately they could make it out to the Little League World Series in Pennsylvania, just a great park, just a great situation. I mean, I know that it was a long way off, but in the back of your mind, knowing the success the team had had and the group of kids, and you got to have breaks and everything's got to fall, but. Was there just a little bit of a sense of anticipation that, you know, if things fall right, this group has shown in the past that they could, with a break here or there? I mean, could they? Were you conceivably and yet so far out there thinking, you know, this is a possibility?
Yeah, I don't think we all talked about it a whole lot, but we thought it was a possibility. You know, one of the top pitchers from the 11s, wasn't able to throw an inning this year because of an injury, and he was, you know, he was one of the top two pitchers, if not the top pitcher, and yet he always knew that was gonna, you know, be a problem. But yeah, everyone thought about it. I mean, I thought about it. I actually at one point looked at the calendar and saw what, you know, what's going on. Has football started yet, et cetera, you know, and you know, because, you know, being a Reese plays, you know, football, basketball, and baseball, you know, and I was starting to think, oh, God, is he going to, how much football would he miss if he did this, you know? And you know, some of the Babe Ruth kids are football players, you know, and you know, they're going to be gone for a week. And so, you know, how many people get to say they played in a World Series? So, you know, the football program's been more accommodating, you know, of excusing those kids.
Be.
Yeah,
it should be, because right now they're baseball players and they're doing something that kids all over the country dream about, to play the game of baseball, and they get to miss school, they get an extended summer break, and they get to do it traveling. And I'm excited for them, and it's great. You know what? I think one of the great things about sports, I really do believe this from playing and coaching and working some camps with some young men who are going to go on and play in the NBA eventually, is dreaming. The dreaming part where you're playing and you're working hard and while you're shooting around and while you're throwing the ball and while you're having batting practice or while you're running around, you're dreaming of what may be, what can be, what possibly you could be a part of. And that's the great thing, the purity and the love that you gain in sport, just dreaming about it.
Yeah, because I don't think, yeah, Reese is still not over getting beat. I've never seen him be affected by something. But, you know, they watched that on TV and they realized how cool it would be to be there. And, you know, they felt like they possibly could be that, you know, could get there. And this might be the first year he may not watch the Little League World Series, you know, because he can right now. But you know what? He'll have many more opportunities to do great things in sports. And, you know, he learned a lesson that day. They all did. But, you know, changing subjects here for a second, I mean, something I wanted to hit on. I remember back in 1981, there was a controversy. Siebert's clothing store in Jasper had you sign a bunch of 51 basketball jerseys, and they were selling them there. And, you know, Well, what do you think about athletes making money off their autographs before they're professional athletes?
I'll tell you, Joe, that is the topic that we want to hit on, and this is the perfect time to do it. The purity of athletics to the tawdry side, I guess you would call it. And we were hoping to have Bill Somm, who's actually a contributor on Indianapolis High School football, but also a longtime enforcement officer for the NCAA. He's not with the NCAA now, but we were hoping to have him on to talk about that. But we will get him on next week and bring this up. But let's put this in perspective. And as a listener, to our listeners, everybody has an opinion. But here's what I find funny. Here's what I find interesting. Johnny Manziel signs these things. I'm sure there was an exchange of money. I'm not sure if there was, but part of me says there was because he signed like 4,400 pieces of clothing or with his signature, and I got to believe that something was exchanged. But here, I think the greatest argument of this whole thing, and the NCAA, I thought, pulled a mea culpa the other day when they said we are no longer going to have online sales of team athletic wear. And absolutely, if they're going to tell these young players they can't sign their jerseys, they can't sign the T-shirts, they can't sign these things with their team logos on there or their names on the back, they sure as heck shouldn't be selling them. And once again, we come back to the NCAA saying, do as I say, not as I do. And you know how that mantra works out, do as I say, not as I do. That's a bunch of crud, and the NCAA needs to be called out on it. I think Johnny Manziel, if he did this, he broke a rule, according to the NCAA rule book. But the bigger culprit in all this, Joe, and our listeners, is the NCAA. Once again, they write this huge book of rules, and they follow none of them. And it's just, it's bull crap. I mean, you look at Ohio State. You know, they're sitting there right now saying, what are they going to do with Johnny Manziel? And why am I bringing up Ohio State? Well, of course, anybody that knows what happened to Ohio State when they were put on probation, when their coach ended up losing his job for fibbing, which he shouldn't have done, lying. But that, it all started when some of their guys received money for selling some of their jerseys and different things that they had. NCAA said, no, even though the NCAA was selling the same thing. So, yeah, Joe, I think it's a bunch of crap, and I really don't know that I want to see Johnny Manziel sat out or put on probation because the NCAA was putting themselves in a position for this to happen by selling this stuff out on the open market.
Yeah, it's just such a double-edged sword, you know.
Standard.
I would think that if he signed 4,000, I don't think he's going to sign 4,000 things if he's just doing it for free. Do you?
Well, absolutely not. I know that you would sign 4,000 things for free, but you wouldn't get that offer, nor would I. But if you get 4,400 pieces of athletic wear or whatever it might be to sign, you're probably getting something in return.
Yeah, you got to be pretty convinced that he's definitely getting something in return because you're not going to take that kind of a time out of your 4,000. How much time does that take alone? You know, even if you scribble like I do, you know, I do the J and then I scribble. You know, I get yelled at by my wife like she's my teacher or something. But you know, I just sometimes. So the J's enough, then they know what it is. So,
well, and I know we're getting ready to bring Mike Pegram on the show, and before we go to break, I just want to finish up with a couple comments on this Johnny Manziel thing. You know, folks, the thing that I think you really have to look at is if you extend a rule or change a rule or expand what you're going to allow young people to do, you're setting yourself up for problems. You know, people say, well, we need to pay the athlete. I don't know that that's going to change the problem. I think that's going to help some of the young men and women who need some spending money. It's probably going to keep them a little bit more focused and away from that line of trouble. But you know what? No matter what you do, when you stretch a rule or enlarge a boundary or a territory, someone's always going to push on that territory. Somebody's always going to reach across that line. So how bad does it get? I don't know. But when you have the rulemaking organization profiting at such a high level, we're talking hundreds of millions of dollars, and they're putting these online sales up, and they're selling team gear, and they're promoting their teams. Sooner or later, somebody's going to come to these players, and some of these players who have any kind of of a mind at all are going to think through the process and say, hey, why are they continuing making hundreds of millions of dollars? I'm going to sign these, put my autograph here. My name is worth something right now. You know, I want to profit off it. I'm not saying it's right, but I'm saying that organization is putting itself in a position to have problems. You know, if you don't want your young people to drink, then don't be sitting around drinking in front of them constantly. If you don't want your young people to smoke, then don't sit around smoking in front of them constantly. Because guess what? You're the model. You're what they're looking at. And so you're the NCAA and you're saying, you know, we don't want our players to be doing anything, signing autographs, getting money, but yet we're going to sell all this team gear with it. So it's kind of ridiculous. There's more to talk about on Johnny Manziel. Obviously, I got plenty to say about the A-Rod situation coming up, but we're going to turn our focus to IU. We're going to turn our focus to football and basketball at Indiana University with Mike Pegram. He's going to be coming up in just a minute. We're going to break. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit ideafusionmedia.com. That's ideafusionmedia.com.
This is Tony Uvalar with Uvalar & Sons Chevy Cadillac in Jasper. Right now, Uvalar's has a huge selection of awesome pre-owned vehicles. Cars, trucks, vans, sport utilities, in most all price categories. And they're all priced to sell. Some are certified and some have special low APRs, but best of all, they are all priced to sell. Uvalar Chevy Cadillac in Jasper, where customers send their friends for great pre-owned vehicles since 1929.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams. Natural-looking fillings. Crowns. Bridges and more. With convenient hours and a clean modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care. Creating beautiful smiles.
I gotta work on my game.
No. Don't think of it as work. The whole point is just to enjoy yourself.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Cody Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach Ken Joe Show. I'm the coach, Coach Ken Schulteis, here, and we've got, oh, I love it when he comes on the show, and so do our listeners. If you want to know about IU, basketball, football, whatever it is, our next guest, he's the guy that can let us know. Mike Pegram, welcome to the Coach Ken Joe Show.
Coach, glad to be back.
Well, we are the ones that are glad to have you back, and we're going to talk some football today, Mike, but I got to jump on the basketball side. And what can you tell us, if anything, about the decommitment of Blackman from the Hoosier basketball squad?
Well, you know, it's been rumored ever since Trey Lyles decommitted, which was actually about 1 year to the day that James did it. You know, here in the last couple of weeks, you know, he's growing up the son of a famous Kentucky player, and you know, grew up on in with an indoor court, the UK logo in the middle, and a lot of people now think that's maybe where he'll end up. I think he's going to go to the Big Blue Madness in Lexington in mid October, but he, you know, there's still a lot of signals from Fort Wayne, or I guess now Marion, where he's going to be moving to, that you know, Indiana's still very much in his mind. But just wanted to see what was out there. But, you know, when you have those Kentucky connections and now he's got offers from Louisville and interest from Kansas and Carolina, and I just had a terrific summer. Finally got healed from that ACL injury and just kind of vaulted into kind of a McDonald's All-American kind of player. And that kind of, you know, maybe made the kid wonder. You know, been dating a girl for 3 years, and she doesn't look so good anymore. Just because the grass is always greener on the other side. I don't know. You know, he obviously committed too early. There's no doubt about that. You just don't commit that early. I think Indiana's kind of learned the lessons from that, and we've not seen anything like that or seen kids committing before they're halfway through high school since then. But, he obviously knew that he was talented, though. I mean, they proved right with those two kids that they were good enough, you know. But, I just don't see it. I do think we're still getting a lot of signals that Indiana is still a possibility, and he may visit for Hoosier Hysteria, which is actually 2 weeks before the UK thing, so maybe something will happen then.
So, Mike, before we move on to the football side, just to follow up on that, you say you still get signals that IU is very much potentially in his decision making going forward.
Yeah.
What kind of position does that put Coach Crean and his staff in? That here's this young man that decommitted, but yet he might want to come back.
Well, they definitely have adjusted recruiting wise, and they've done a pretty good job of getting involved with a couple players that are, similar two guard kind of combos that will help them a lot. And there's still calling and communication there. They put so much time into that one. You know, maybe you don't quit here at the last moment. You know, it's just a couple months from the finish line. But it did put him in. You know, they obviously spent a lot of time watching his games through the years, going to the places he was at across the country, and where they could have been maybe watching somebody else. It is what it is, and there is enough time to adjust. And they've done a good job, and they have a kid coming in next weekend, Robert Johnson, who's really kind of grown into maybe a top 50 level player that might be able to be a better defender, maybe a little bit more of a point guard than James. Maybe I don't think anybody can score like this kid. He's a really unique scorer, but they have some other options, and they're moving quickly to make those a reality.
Well, it is something to keep watching, and we'll see where it goes. But it's always nice to get the Indiana kids and keep them in Indiana. So we'll have to see what happens. Mike, let's turn our attention to Coach Wilson and the football Hoosiers. And I'm just going to start right where we need to start. What do we look like on defense? I know we're young. I know we have some good young recruits. But is there enough there as far as challenges in practice and experience to make this a better defensive football team?
Yeah, I think so. I think that they got lucky, and some of their young talent fits into the positions where they did lose a couple players. I'm talking about Adam Rapogo and Larry Black on the inside of the defensive line. They had some good redshirts and Ralph Green and some good talent coming in, and David Kenny and Darius Latham. Kids ready to maybe play right away on that defensive line, which was an issue last year in terms of getting to the quarterback, especially at end. But they do have their ends back, and they're bigger and stronger. Added a nice linebacker in T.J. Simmons, who got in early in the spring, I think will really help them. And they have a terrific safety in Antonio Allen. Coach Doug Mallard was talking quite a bit about him after practice yesterday, who may actually start. And that's saying a lot because they have returning starters in Mark Murphy and Greg Heben in the safety core right now. So I think it's a better. I think cornerback is a real issue, as it is often for a team, because there's just not very many guys who can cover receiver one-on-one. And that's going to be a big focus. But it should be an improved defense. You know, we're not looking to have a top half of the Big Ten level defense at Indiana this year, but the offense is almost got everybody back, and three experienced quarterbacks, so they should be able to score some points.
Yeah, going to the offensive side, I mean, we're two deep in a lot of the positions. We're three deep at quarterback. We've got a strong group in the backfield. Your impressions at this point in the early season and practice period is, I know Coach Wilson has said, these three quarterbacks seem to be in a dead heat. What are your thoughts? What are you hearing from other people? Is any one of the quarterbacks stepping up above the other one?
Well, if I had to bet, I would either bet on Nate Sudfeld or Trey Roberson at this point. I think Nate is maybe more traditional. He's so much bigger than the other two, and he's got that year of experience, and he's added a little bit of strength. And I wouldn't bet against him, but Trey Roberson has some intangibles that you just don't see until you really get into the game situation. Team seems to move the ball with him there. He's more valuable, I think, when you have a little bit of a struggle at the line because of the scrambling ability. And this team, I think, has a decent offensive line because everyone's gotten bigger. Everyone's come back stronger. I think it might be the kind of line that could protect a big quarterback like Nate Sudfeld, who's 6'5", 230, can really see and really run that no-huddle offense. So I think it'll be one of those two guys right now. I think Cam Kaufman is in the mix, but he's a little bit of both in terms of a little bit taller than Trey, and he can run a little bit better than Nate. But just really like the way Nate Sudfeld's been throwing the ball and the intangibles that Trey Roberson brings, and maybe they'll complement each other back there.
Mike, I've got a question from one of our listeners. Brian wants to know if Roberson does not win the quarterback position, is there another position on the offensive side of the field that he could fill in or move into?
They could do a little bit of the wildcat or something like that. But at this point, he's only been playing quarterback, and it would be and they're really set at wide receiver, which is the next natural spot for him on short notice, with Lattimore, Hughes, Shane Wynn, and Deuce Wilson. They really have four really good wide receivers. But they could mix things in a little bit. Like Kofi Hughes has played a little wildcat quarterback. He played quarterback in high school. They could do a little mixing around with Trey. But at this point, I don't think this particular season they could do a lot of other stuff with Trey. Now, if Nate Sudfeld gets the job or Cam Kaufman gets the job and does terrific, then they would maybe adjust, but it would be a later season, I would think.
You know, we give a lot of credit to this quarterback trio, but we also have a huge returning stable of at least look to be talented receivers. Is it the quarterbacks making the receivers, the receivers making the quarterback, or what you would like to see on a team? Is this just a good group of receivers and quarterbacks coming together and growing into a solid offensive unit?
Yeah, and Indiana has always had some pretty good receivers through the years. It's a little bit easier position to recruit to, I guess. But this year they have two veterans. You got Kofi Hughes, who can catch the ball, just a real tough, hard-nosed kid, a real leader on that team. And then the scat back, the guy who's just really impossible to tackle in open field, and Shane Wynn. The best of them, though, is probably Cody Lattimore, the 6'3", 215 junior, who really probably has a future in the NFL someday because he's got that combination of speed and quickness and some good strength. And Deuce Wilson is a tremendous talent himself. Last year was coming off injury, but has been healthy, had a nice spring, and has nice height at 6'3", and really complements those three guys. And he's a redshirt senior, so he's been through everything. It's really that's the strength of their offense, no doubt about it, and, makes it going to make it easier for the quarterbacks.
Well, IU was first in the conference, I believe, in passing yards and second in touchdown catches, and then conversely you have the defense, which was last in turnovers. Is Coach Mallory, even with this young defense and improving defense, Mike, can we find a way to create, do we have the people that can create some more turnovers? You know, turnovers are big, especially if you got a good offense, to get that ball back in the offense's hands. Are we going to be able to get out of that cellar a little bit?
Well, I don't think it'll be like last year, but it's how big a step is it, is the question. I think David Cooper is a pretty good linebacker, and T.J. Simmons, we mentioned him, and that's been kind of an issue. Steven Funderburk's a pretty good JUCO that they brought in. And, you know, I think that, you know, Key would be getting some of these young freshmen in the line. You know, Ralph Green is really surprised, a 307-pound tackle who's trimmed, and that's trimmed down from before. He redshirted last fall. And, you know, Darius Latham is a tremendous talent at 6'5", 280 or so, and he's a true freshman, but, you know that he's a level above what they've had on the line for a while. And the same thing goes holds true with David Kenny, another Indianapolis defensive lineman. You know, they're a level above. David, unfortunately, has missed some time with concussion, but he's back and playing. They can mix those guys in, maybe get a little bit higher athlete to mix in with the veterans. They can maybe get to the quarterback a little bit more and, you know, take a little bit of pressure off the corners, because, once again, the corner is an issue.
So in your mind, as we go into this early part of the season, obviously we get practice to get better yet, but is Latham one of the keys, one of the guys to watch on that defensive end? In your mind, is one or two guys that people should really take note of, at least early in the season?
Yeah, Darius Latham and safety Antonio Allen are the two guys that I would point to. Maybe T.J. Simmons is a true freshman, but he was in the spring at linebacker, so he's got a little bit of a head start, and I think he kind of gives him a little bit more athleticism. So those are the three guys at the three levels of the defense that I think will play a lot. And, you know, I don't know if all of them will start, but they'll be out there, I would assume. And, yeah, kind of give them a little bit higher level of athlete in each area, and, you know, hopefully better results especially than they had in the last part of the season.
One of our listeners, Christopher, he wants to put you on the spot a little bit here. He wants to, if you've got an idea of a record, both regular season and Big Ten, at least in the early going. What are your thoughts?
I kind of view this as a seven-win kind of baseline team. This is a schedule that sets up well for them with, you know, I can't remember a season starting with five straight home games, but that's what Indiana has in front of them. And they've, you know, they have a little bit tougher non-conference with Navy and Missouri on the schedule, but it sets up with them coming to Bloomington and having played Navy last year and getting an extra get 9 days preparation for Navy, have playing Indiana State on Thursday night to open the season. So they've gotten used to that. Navy, they had a chance to play Navy last year and were ahead. Missouri is a little bit down, I believe. And there are some teams on this Big Ten schedule that a little bit more opportunity maybe to beat than in a normal year. Penn State, obviously, with scholarship reductions. Minnesota back on the schedule and coming to Bloomington. Illinois, a team they beat last year coming to Bloomington. Those are three Big Ten games that they have a good chance, and Purdue coming to Bloomington. There's really four Big Ten games in Bloomington they have a pretty good chance to win. You win, you know, three of those four and those four non-conference games, and that's a seven-win season that sends you to a decent bowl game. The tough games are on the road, but the road's going to be tough anyway, so you might as well play the really good teams like Michigan, Ohio State, Wisconsin on the road, and that's what happens with the schedule. So, you know, they might get thumped a little bit away from home, but if they take care of business in Memorial Stadium, they should go somewhere.
So the critical line here is you got to take care of business at home. We say that all the time in all sports, but really for our Hoosiers, this football program, to take that next step, they got to get it done at home.
Yeah, they need to beat Indiana State worse than they did last year. I think it was a reasonably close game a year ago, and they need to build some momentum. They need to get the quarterback that they choose going and get some confidence before the Navy game on the 7th of May or 7th of September. So the start, I think, is going to be key because of all those home games rolling a row and giving them an opportunity to take five right away.
Well, it'll be an exciting season. I'm looking forward to it. I've got a son just graduated and a daughter just enrolling, so I'll be back up there with a couple of my brothers who have kids up there ready to tailgate and watch some Hoosier football. Before we let you go, Mike, anything you want to tell us going on with Pigs.com or anything you're affiliated with?
Well, we're going to do a golf outing the afternoon before Hoosier Hysteria, and we just found out that Hoosier Hysteria will be October 4th. Still waiting for the time. It'll be 7 or 8 p.m., but it's going to be a huge weekend. We're on a golf weekend, and there's going to be Hoosier Hysteria that Friday night, and then Saturday will be the Big Ten football home opener against Penn State. So, you know, that's going to be a terrific weekend. The leaves will be changing. So if you're thinking about coming up, come to our golf out and go to the Hoosier Hysteria and then catch some Penn State football. Can't imagine a better weekend than that.
So do you take bad golfers like myself and even worse, Joe?
I'll take anybody. And we're going to play at Otter Creek Golf Course, which is one of the best courses in the nation for a public course, top 25 in the nation. So it's going to be fun in Columbus, Indiana. So it's a short drive from Bloomington. We're going to do some stuff. We're going to do more stuff this year. We're ramping up our podcast. We're trying to reach out a little bit more to the fans and really kind of enjoy the improved basketball outlook and what we think will be a bold team in football.
Well, it should be, you know, if you're listening and you get a chance, get up there and join Mike Pegram and the guys and play some golf at Otter Creek and get involved and then come out and get excited for Hoosier basketball and Hoosier football. And I'm looking forward to it, Mike, and we hope to have you back soon and talk a little bit more about the progress and anything else going on with IU. Thanks for being with us again.
Coach, appreciate it. Always fun.
Great to have Mike Pegram. When we come back, we'll be talking, believe it or not, a little black and gold stuff, Purdue football, with Sean Morris, and we'll be back in a little bit. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show. Well, it sounds like we did not go to break, so I'm back again. And always great talking with Mike Pegram and Pegs.com. Go to that site. Get on that board. Join that message board and talk sports. Talk IU basketball, baseball, football. It's been, if you're an IU fan, an IU alum, you've had to be really excited with the things that have gone on at Indiana University. During the last year, we're making progress in every area athletically. Most importantly, though, it's about academics at Indiana University, whether it's the Bloomington campus or any of the satellite campuses. But we all connect with the athletic side, so that's so important. And you make sure you get to Pegs.com. Talk a little IU with other alumni, other fans, and share and get some insight in what's going on at Indiana University. When we come back, again, we'll be talking football at Purdue. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar Chevy Cadillac in Jasper. Have you ever heard a car ad that looks too good to be true or has fast-talking fine print?
Buy before midnight tonight. Maybe okay, maybe not. You probably aren't eligible for this event. Ubelar's prices are better, but you can't know that.
You want to hear Ubelar's fine print? That's right, silence. Our prices will save you money, huge inventory, even bigger discounts. Ubelar & Son Chevy Cadillac in Jasper, where customers send their friends since 1929.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit IdeaFusionMedia.com. That's IdeaFusionMedia.com.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
Tomorrow, after the game, I, Jackie Moon, will wrestle a bear.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tom Dehart of the Big Ten Network, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back to the Coach K and Joe Show, and we are joined by Purdue beat writer for the Fort Wayne Journal-Gazette, Sean Morrison. Sean, how are you doing today?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Great to hear from you, Sean. Looking forward to talking a little Purdue.
Yeah, definitely. Love doing this kind of stuff, so thanks for having me on.
Now, Sean, you are the Purdue beat writer, and, you know, much like we just talked about IU, and, you know, IU's got a three-headed quarterback race going on, and you've been around the Purdue program this fall camp, and can you label the quarterback situation a three-headed race, or is anyone stuck themselves out in front of the other two? I know two of them are freshmen, one's a redshirt freshman, one's a freshman, and a senior, and what has been your observation of that position so far?
It's been an interesting race, to be sure. At first, going into camp, a lot of the writers, like myself, thought that Rob Henry was certainly the better option of the three. And he's been consistent throughout camp. But at the same time, you know, it's one of those things that no one has really stood out, honestly. I think Coach Hazel would have wanted to have made a decision by now, or at least had someone start kind of pulling ahead of the rest of the pack. But as camp has gone on, it's gone from more of thinking it's either going to be Rob Henry or Danny Etling to Austin Appleby, the redshirt freshman, coming in and really surprising some people with just his knowledge of the offense, his ability to make the reads. And he does have more of the prototypical deep quarterback style that would work better with this offense. I think in a perfect world for Daryl Hazel, Rob Henry would have a better arm, or Danny Etling would have, you know, a better understanding at this point of what exactly he wants done within the scheme. But Austin Appleby kind of brings both of those things to a certain extent. It's just the only thing that's really holding Henry back from that starting job is the fact that he's not as good at the deep throws. He's not as natural of a thrower as he would like for the kind of offense that Hazel and offensive coordinator John Shoup have put together.
Sean, with Coach Hazel being in his first season, and, you know, there's a lot of learning going on, and even though he's had an opportunity to get with some of his players earlier and work on some things, there's just so many new things to look at defensively, offensively, but also from the standpoint of those interested in the Purdue football program. Have you found Coach Hazel to be forthcoming with information and how things are going on a daily or weekly basis, or has this been more of a situation where it's closed and you'll just have to wait and see what we unveil?
Coach Hazel's, one of his top priorities when he came into West Lafayette was to open the program back up to the community and to get the community involved, get alumni involved. He sent out 1,500 handwritten letters to Purdue football alumni and to other alumni who were close to the program just to, you know, reconnect. And he's also had his guys doing stuff out in the community, working with, you know, different places and charitable organizations. And he's opened up as well. The practices are open for if you walk in, you can go sit in the north end zone and you can watch what Purdue is doing on a daily basis. I think he's been very, very forthcoming with things that are going on within his program. One of his biggest mantras is that college football essentially is the same. We all run power. We all run, you know, different kinds of plays like the dive and stuff like that. I mean, there aren't that many secrets unless you're in Oregon from years past. So that's been his biggest thing, is just trying to re-involve people, get them excited about the program by letting them watch. And it's kind of mutually beneficial, too, because you see it from the guys. They like having fans around. They like being able to have someone to showcase their abilities to. So I do like that style, because it's helpful for me as a journalist as well, just to, you know, be able to see what's going on behind what's usually an iron curtain.
Now, Sean, you know, I don't know where you – I don't know if you were around Purdue last season or not, but – what are kind of the differences between, you know, Coach Hope's approach and Coach Hazel's approach that either you've witnessed or that you've heard of?
Well, I mean, Coach Hope was basically a player's coach through and through.
He didn't really light into his guys all that much. He wasn't the type that would establish the kind of accountability that Coach Hazel has. I mean, Coach Hazel came in, and his staff in general is just very, very short-fused. If you do something wrong, they're going to let you know about it right away. And there is a lot more accountability, a lot more energy around the program, it seems like, right now. At the same time, watching that go on at Indiana during my final season when it was – or my final year at school when it was Kevin Wilson's first season, you know, you can run some guys off that way. There are some people that don't respond well to that approach. And so far we haven't seen that all that much. But it could be something that starts coming when if the wins don't come this season. At the same time, you know, it's a very different approach for those guys, and they've admitted when Coach Hazel walked in the door the first day, they're kind of like, what's this guy's deal? Why is he being so, you know, just so standoffish? And it's not necessarily standoffish. It's just that he isn't the kind of guy that's going to go into the team room and wrap his arm around your back and start, you know, joking with you. He's all business all the time. And that's going to take some adjusting too. At the same time, I think it's what Purdue needs right now.
You know, you talk about a coach's new approach, and I like that business, that focused, and we got to get after it because you've got to build something. I mean, they've got to get the fans excited back in the stands. They've got to get the players playing at a high level. When you look at this team, Sean, you've got questions on both sides of the ball, but what side of the ball do you see ahead at this point in the practice preseason? As far as is the defense a little bit ahead? Is the offense a little bit ahead? It's got to be difficult learning the new schemes, especially if you're not sure on the quarterback situation. From where you're standing, from what you're hearing, what you're seeing, which side of the ball is a little bit ahead of the other? Or is either the defense or the offense a little bit ahead?
Well, from day one, it seemed like the defense was far ahead, just from a talent perspective, a depth perspective. And they've also got a bit of an easier job, too, where it's go to the ball for the style of defense that they're playing, as opposed to a guy like Rob Henry having to learn all the hot reads and the new keys and all those kinds of things. That's a bit of a tougher learning curve to climb than the defensive system that they have. But I think that the Boilermakers have a lot of talent on their defense this season, actually. You've got guys like Ricardo Allen, who could be one of the top cornerbacks in the conference. He's got a lot of depth at the defensive line positions, a lot of depth in the secondary as well. The one thing that is kind of a question mark at this point is probably the linebacker position, but they've done some work to try to fill out some depth there. And honestly, if the defense is good this year, that's going to be what keeps Purdue in games, because Hazel's not looking for a quarterback that can win him games. He's hoping for a quarterback that can keep them in games, that can control the game and dictate the tempo. And they're really going to rely on their run game quite a bit, I would assume, and then hope for big plays a little bit down the stretch. But the defense is going to be the definite key for them this year because it is their strong point. It wasn't a great defense in the Big Ten last year, but they're returning a lot of starters, a lot of hungry guys. And in order for them to be successful, they have to do the things that they've been doing in practices against the offensive units, you know, batting down balls, getting interceptions. There have been a lot more turnovers than I'm sure Coach Shoup would like for his offensive unit, but at the same time, that does bode well for when they start going up against competition on Saturdays.
Now, you know, I read a lot about Purdue. I'm a Purdue fan. I admit it. Kenny's not. That's fine. Coach K's not. But the thing I've read, the common theme, you know, when you mentioned the defense, is I knew the offense could be because I keep reading about these freshman receivers, these freshman running backs, these freshman quarterbacks. Realistically, how many of these redshirt freshmen and freshmen have a chance to go and contribute, do you think, for the Boilermakers this season?
Well, going into today, I thought that Danny Monteroso, freshman wide receiver, had a really good shot at contributing. Unfortunately, the news came out that he suffered a fractured collarbone, probably won't be playing for quite a bit of time, but the wide receiver group in particular, it seems like there are a lot of playmakers at that position. There are 14 guys competing for 6 spots, but a lot of those guys were transferred over because of the need for depth at that position. I wouldn't be surprised to see another freshman break in there. And even at running back, you've got Yancey, who is a newcomer, but at the same time brings a lot to the table as a guy that can catch out of the backfield, a guy that can really pass block very well. He's definitely got the speed to go with it and things like that. And Robert Gregory has kind of fallen off a little bit throughout the course of camp, so I wouldn't be surprised to see him crack the two deep. And it's like I said, kind of a similar situation to Indiana, where you have all these talented freshmen coming in. Why not get them playing time now? And it doesn't matter what the position is. If these guys can get in, you know, a good, solid amount of reps in their first season under this new system, they're going to be that much better for it going into the next year. And I think Coach Hazel's done a really good job so far of not only focusing on the short term, wanting to win now, wanting to make a bowl in this next season, but also recognizing that if that plan doesn't come to fruition, he has to have some guys in the coming year that are able to step in and fill those roles and make the team better immediately, as opposed to taking a step back when you lose all that experience.
Sean, you make a key point in Coach Hazel wanting to come in and get things moving right away, try to win at least as many as they can now. When you look at that Purdue schedule, is there two or three games or one or two games in there that you just feel like for the season to be anything, they just got to win these games?
Well, it's a tough schedule. The first nine games that they have, eight of those opponents are either ranked in the top 25 going into the season or receiving votes. And the one that isn't is Indiana State, and that's they're an FCS team that's kind of off the table there. But I think the latter part of the Big Ten season will really tell us where Purdue's at within the conference, because they play Ohio State at home. That's a game that is going to be huge, but you don't expect to win that. You're playing other teams like Cincinnati, Northern Illinois, out of conference, Notre Dame out of conference, and yes, those are marquee games. Those are really good matchups, but at the same time, you don't expect Purdue to win those games. You expect them to compete, not necessarily beat a team like a Notre Dame, even though it came pretty close last season. I would say that you get down the stretch there, and you've got Iowa, Indiana, and Illinois. Those are teams that you should expect to beat if you're the Boilermakers, because you have a history of success against those teams. Those teams are down just like you are. And, it's going to be interesting to see how the season shakes out for those squads, but at the same time, the one thing that Coach Hazel needs to happen this season is for them to take their lumps where they can and to pull off, maybe one or two games that's like, oh, wow, we weren't expecting them to do that. Indiana's going to be a much improved team, but at the same time, you're playing them, you've had a string of dominance over them over the last 3 years. You expect to compete in that game, and you expect to go into Bloomington and really surprise some people. And teams like Illinois and Iowa, they're just, they're right on the bottom rung with you, so you have to take them out as well. But it's a really tough schedule, and that's going to be the biggest thing that kind of gives people pause going into the season. If Purdue were playing a schedule with, a couple of MAC teams and, a couple of warm-up, walk-up games to the Big Ten season, I'd have a lot higher expectations for them, even though they're going into this new system and all those kinds of things. But with the schedule that they have, they're playing a lot of teams that are going to wind up in bowls this next year. And it kind of makes you wonder, well, can they cross into that echelon themselves? And it's going to be difficult, especially with the adjustments that they'll have to make week to week and the kind of competition they'll be playing week to week.
Sean, being from Fort Wayne, I got to ask this question. Since you're in the Fort Wayne area, Purdue's started off, and I think they've got to start to a really nice recruiting class. One of their gems is Drew Tranquil and Fort Wayne Carroll.
Yes.
Defensive player that committed to Purdue, but now Notre Dame is offered. What are you hearing on that? Is there any news?
Well, he took a visit to Notre Dame just this past week. I think it's one of those situations where Notre Dame, they knew the announcement was coming. They knew the commitment announcement was going to be coming for Drew, and just kind of bided their time. Didn't know if they needed him yet, didn't know if they wanted him yet. But as always happens in recruiting, it's a fluid situation. Some guys that are on the radar drop off, some guys that weren't on the radar come back on. So a couple weeks later, they pulled the trigger on an offer. A lot of people were upset about that, especially on the Purdue side, obviously. But at the same time, it is what it is. Now, the difficult thing there is that Tranquil's options are you go to Purdue, you contribute almost immediately. You're going to be a part of building something, and it's a program that he's more comfortable with because he spent more time there, a lot more time there, going to West Lafayette for unofficial visits and those kinds of things. At the same time, Notre Dame was kind of his dream school, whatever that might mean for whatever particular person. And it's obviously an elite program. He wouldn't have the chance to play right away, which was one of his keys, but at the same time, you're playing for Notre Dame. So it's going to be a difficult race. I still, at this point, I don't see it as a done deal that he switches to Notre Dame because the Purdue staff is not going to let up on him. And honestly, they need him more than Notre Dame needs Tranquil. So it'll be an interesting race. I think if Notre Dame got involved with a couple more guys at safety, you could see that interest wane off a little bit. So I think a lot of it depends on who's available late in the year, as well as, you know, just what's going through his head. Do I want to play more right away, or do I want to be just one of those guys but be able to go to a national championship, those kinds of things. So it's really tough to tell now. I know a lot of people have said, oh, it's just a matter of time, but I wouldn't say that myself. I think there's a pretty good chance, if things shake out the way that the Boilermakers want them to, that Drew isn't going anywhere.
Well, Sean, I'll tell you what, thank you for joining us, and I hope that you'll become a regular contributor to the Coach K and Joe show during this football season to help our, you know, help our people keep in tune with the Boilermaker football. And, you know, is there I follow you on Twitter. Tell our listeners how to follow you, because I know you give out a lot of great information.
Well, my name on Twitter is Sean, S-E-A-N, _ M-O-R-R-I-S-O-N, Morrison.
Okay, well, go follow him, especially if you're a Boilermaker. A lot of great information coming out from Sean. And, Sean, thank you for being with us, and I'm sure we'll be talking to you real soon.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me, guys.
Okay, you've been listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar & Sons Chevy Cadillac, Toyota Scion in Jasper. We've all heard the commercial, 15 minutes could save you 15. Folks, let me tell you, it won't take 15 minutes for us to save you money. Give Ubelar's a call at 1-800-937-USA1 or visit us online at ubelar.com. We'll tell you the facts, treat you right, no bait and switch, and best of all, we will save you money. Ubelar Chevy Cadillac, Toyota Scion in Jasper, where customers send their friends for a lifetime of savings in 15 minutes or less since 1929.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit ideafusionmedia.com. That's ideafusionmedia.com.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
The drivers out there, if you smell a delicious crispy smell after the race, it's not your tailpipe, it's a little bit of shake
and then bake.
Shake and bake, that's our nickname.
Get used to hearing it.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Cody Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. I'm the coach, Coach K, Ken Schulteis. And speaking of the big handsome, Cody Zeller, I ran into Cody last weekend down in Evansville, Indiana. His family was putting on their summer basketball camp, Distinction Camp. Here in Evansville at the YWCA, or excuse me, the YMCA. And the big handsome was there along with his wonderful mom and dad. You know, folks, there are people you hear about that you always hear good things, or good people, nice, down to earth, accommodating, and then you meet them and they're not anything like that. But I'm going to tell you something. And you know the little piece we did from the guys from New York and New Jersey, Coach K Speaks the Truth. I'm speaking the truth when I say the Zeller family is as advertised. Now, they're just human beings. They're going to make mistakes. But you talk about nice people. I come in to the camp, and I want to talk to Cody for a couple minutes. His dad goes out of his way, wonderful man, big guy too, very nice though, goes out of his way, takes me all over the Y to find him. We end up finding him a few minutes later. The camp was over. It was at the end. I took my daughter Paige over there. She had gone over there earlier to get a picture with the big handsome. And I wanted to go over and say hi. He takes me up, and we finally find Cody. And guess where he's at? He's in one of the back rooms where they have a ping pong table in a lounge area. And he's playing a 10 or 11-year-old young boy from the camp. He's playing him in ping pong. And, I mean, he is having a great time. I mean, he's having a great time playing ping pong. Well, I'm not going to jump in and bother him because, you know, here he is. This young guy's having the experience of his life. His family's watching. And Cody's into it. I mean, he's smiling and laughing and trying to win and battling for every point. The ball breaks away. It rolls about 20 feet from the table. I pick it up. I walk over. I said, Cody, just want to put a name with a face. Coach Ken Schulteis from the Coach K and Joe Show. Oh, yeah, pleasure to meet you. It was very, very nice. But I could sense that he really wanted to get back and finish that game with that young boy. And you know what? That's what he should have wanted to do. I mean, he wanted to give the attention to that young guy. And we shook hands and talked for just 30 seconds. And that's what he did. He went back laughing and just having a good time. From the time I walked in to the time I left, the family, the people were as advertised. So I just wish him luck. And he said he will come on at some point in season two and talk a little bit about his progress at the pro level. How about all that information from Mike Pegram on IU and from Sean Morrison from the Fort Wayne Sentinel on Purdue? Good contributors, good guys, and they'll be on the show throughout the year. So if you have questions about IU, if you have questions about Purdue, I'm sure they won't be great questions if they're about Purdue. Just teasing Black and Gold fans. Make sure you get them to us, text us, email us here at the show, CoachKandJoeShow.com. Make sure you get with us. Thank you once again to Mike Pegram and Sean Morrison for coming on. Next, we bring it in. Joe went and got him. We're bringing in Kurt Gooksell, a regular member of the Coach K and Joe Show. Kurt, are you with us?
Yes, I am, Coach. How you doing?
Well, it's great to see you, buddy. I think the last time I saw you was in a festive situation at the beer garden at the annual Jasper Straschenfest.
Some more festive than others, I would say. But, yeah, it was fun.
And folks, there's not just beer drinking in the beer garden. There's people talking, having a good time, drinking a Coke or drinking some water. And Kurt, as always, the professional that he is, the community representative that he is, the sportscaster, the WBDC program man that he is, was just in a perfect situation and represented himself and his profession very well.
If you say so, Coach, I appreciate that. What's going on today?
Hey, I'll tell you what I want to talk about. I know, and I don't care what your view is. I want to hear it, but I want to talk a little A-Rod because it's not just the Peds I want to talk about. It's the whole sham of Major League Baseball and Bud Selig and the Yankees. And let me just lay a few things out, and then I'm going to let you jump right in, I promise, Kurt. And Don Schulteis will join us later, and you know he likes to rant it up. But here's what I find ridiculous. A-Rod gets suspended. Now, this isn't the United States court system. Due process and all that stuff, which you get guaranteed under the Constitution. This is Major League Baseball. He gets suspended 200-plus games, whatever it is, and he says, I'm appealing, and he's back out on the field. And the Yankees, who have thrown him under the bus, lambasted him, griped about him, complained about him, and they're a part of Major League Baseball, they put him right on the field. And I find this almost as silly as Johnny Manziel being criticized for signing his autograph to athletic gear that the NCAA sells online. I mean, due process, my butt. If there's really due process, then let's get arbitration out there immediately, not after the season, not after he plays the rest of the season. Let's really do this the right way, speedy trial, speedy arbitration, and let's do something. It's almost as big a sham as Bud Selig acting like the greatest idea he ever had was instant replay. Has the news conference and acting like this is monumental. Can you believe we've come up with this idea? My gosh, people have been screaming about it for years, but this A-Rod thing bothers me. You're either suspended or you're not. You're either guilty or you're not. And the Yankees are complicit on both sides of the base path here.
Well, I agree. I mean, like you said, you're either suspended or you're not. Either you've committed the violation of major league rules or you didn't. And the Yankees, the problem with the Yankees, I don't care if it's a college basketball coach, a college football coach, a big league manager, an NFL coach. The Yankees have had trouble hitting home runs at third base. They've had no productivity at third base. Of course they're going to put him back in the lineup, even if they really don't want to. Because all they care about is winning. And if you're a pro team, that's what you should do. But the system is just so messed up. And I think that is your main point. And that's my thing. And after a while, you hear so much about this. And you talked about Manziel and that stuff. You almost become numb to it. You don't even worry about it. But A-Rod, I mean, and I was a guy that for the longest time liked Alex Rodriguez until I found out, you know, just a lot of stuff that wasn't really cool anymore, but it's a mess.
Now, I understand it's $35 million that we're talking about for him, and he's going to fight it, and he's going to spend $500,000 or $1 million for his lawyers, whatever it is. But you're right, Kurt. The point I'm really making is the system. It's not just broken because it was never fixed. It's confused. And I think Bud Selig, every time I want to give him some credit, I end up having to turn around and saying, no, I'm not giving him any credit because of something that happens like this. You sit around, you leak it to the press, ESPN, whatever, contributors, whatever, for 3 weeks ahead, especially a week ahead. This is what he's going to get suspended for. Yep, he got suspended for that. Then he's going to appeal, and then the Yankees are against him, and then the Yankees don't say anything, then the Yankees have him in the lineup, and we've got, okay, it's going to go to arbitration, he gets due process. You know, I'm not a constitutional expert, but I can tell you that due process was created to make sure that people got an opportunity to have a fair trial, but they also get a speedy trial. And in baseball, an arbitration hearing after the season, why can't an arbitrator be brought in to hear it right away? Why is it after the season, Kurt?
Because even if it's bad publicity, it's good publicity for the game of baseball, because like you and I are talking about it, and A-Rod's leading sports center. And, I mean, it's a weird, twisted thing, but I believe that's what it's all about. You know, and they're not going to do anything to the vaunted New York Yankees. They've done all this research. They've done all the investigation. They either have the goods or they don't. Like you said, bring in the arbitrators that are used to hearing these cases, no matter if it's business or it's the sports deal, and have it done and be done with it. But like I said, in a twisted way, I think they like having this out there. And I think that sealing it his way, once if they see Alex Rodriguez or Ryan Braun, you know, out there embarrassed every day, then maybe that will be a deterrent to other guys. You know,
but it's not much of a deterrent. And I, you know what? If you want to get rid of this stuff and it's just like cheating in basketball and football, tell people they're done if you get caught. Right? And that's a real deterrent to the PEDs and to the stuff that happens in Major League sports. Make the penalties more severe. But they're not making any penalties any severe.
No, there's no real discipline. And I don't care what they say. It's not just the sham of the PEDs and the sham of this arbitration hearing that's going to take place after the season, after he plays the whole year that he should be suspended from. And I don't care. I'm all for due process, but let's get the arbitration done right away. And then you've got Bud Selig standing up there hoping to push some of this off the front page because he's talking about instant replay. I don't know, and I know Don Schulteis from Indy has joined us, but I don't know if you guys saw Bud in this news conference, but he was acting like they had invented the wheel or something here. Listen, guys, baseball, as pure of a sport as it is, Little League World Series, that's purity. Baseball National Tournament, that'll be purity. But Major League Baseball, why do you have lights? If it's all, you know, we've got to keep it the way it was. We got night games. We got indoor arenas. You know, folks, we could have the outhouse, too, or dig a hole in the backyard and wipe your butt with a fig leaf. I mean, whatever you want to do. But you got to advance at some point. Instant replay needs to be brought into the game. Yes, it needs to have restrictions. But Bud Selig has been hearing this argument for years. He stood up there and acted like, well, we've come up with a great idea. Instant replay. It's again, it's another thing, part of baseball, what I call the sham of Major League Baseball.
It is. It's turned into pure entertainment. Any organization, and you know I love baseball, that would have two different rules for the same game, i.e. the designated hitter, is insane. I mean, how can you get away with perpetrating that sham, to use your word, and still keep integrity into the game of baseball? He's hired by the owners, and they got exactly what they want. But this guy, he is a person that almost ushered in all this steroid and all this teeth. They could have stopped this a long time ago. But they decided that was going to be what was good. Now they're trying to put the brakes on it. They don't know what they want to do.
I guess it comes back to if as long as they're talking to you, talking about you, whether it's bad or good, at least they're talking about you.
That's what I said earlier, yeah.
Hey, how about, and Don, let me start with you. We talked about Johnny Manziel a little bit earlier. You got to wonder about Ohio State sitting here watching, Dez Bryant sitting here watching, some of these people that have been suspended in the past for things having to do with paraphernalia that they sold or autographed or supposedly got money for. Johnny Manziel sitting here. We were hoping to have Bill Sahm on, but we couldn't get him on this week. The NCAA doing a mea culpa real quick and saying, oh, no more online sales by the NCAA of team gear before they make a ruling on this. I mean, where does this thing go? I mean, did Johnny Manziel break a rule if he took money? Yeah, but I'm almost to the point where don't suspend this guy. Just get this rule stuff straightened out.
Well, first of all, Coach, I just wanted to say that my Fridays are now just more complete that the Coach K and Joe show is back on the air. So I just wanted to start out with that. But regarding Johnny Manziel, I just don't see how the NCAA is going to be able to, you know, whether it's shorter term or longer term, restrict these guys from signing their name and making some money on it. And I know I've heard Jay Billis argue for it, and you know, Double D Dan Dockage will say, well, if you open it up, you guarantee that some Kentucky booster is going to pay somebody $50,000 to sign their name on some autograph, and it's going to open it up. But I just don't see how the courts are going to be able to restrict this, because there's precedent with the Olympic model, and somebody's been making a ton of money on these guys for years, whether it's their likeness, whether it's their jersey number, you know, whatever it is. So I'm with you on this. I think that they need to just get the rules straightened out, and the guys that have the big names and win the Heisman and, you know, score 20 a game and that kind of thing, they're going to make, you know, quote unquote, more money than some of the other players. And that's just the way it's going to be at some point.
Kurt, has Emmert lost control, or did he ever have control at the NCAA?
He never had control. I mean, none of those guys ever did. It's not Mark Emmert. I mean, it's all those people, and it's not him. That's just the group that happens to legislate this. It's the universities, and they're the ones that run the NCAA, and they always want to work in the gray area, and there's no answer to this. I mean, I am so torn on a lot of this stuff, on what they can do and how out of control it could get if they started paying people. And I'm one to think that the black people that complain about the exploitation of the athletes supposedly is wrong, because I think they get a lot out of it too, the athletes do. You know, it's not like they're, you know, if they didn't want to get exploited, unquote, unquote, then go somewhere else and play. Play somewhere else, Kurt, where nobody wants. Yeah.
Kurt, I agree with you. I agree with that. My point is, I don't see the courts upholding the.
Yeah, you're right, Donnie. In a law situation, I cannot see them keeping you or I or anybody else from signing, or, you know, especially those other guys or whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, this thing of paying people because they, you know, because these schools are making money off these guys or whatever. I mean, the players get a lot out of this too.
No,
education is nothing to sneeze about. But, you know, some are going to get richer because, again, there is no way that somebody can stop an athlete from signing his name and making a few bucks on it. I mean, he could be employed in a summer job, couldn't he? I mean, I know there's a rule in the NCAA, so that restricts him right now. But if they force this in the courts, I mean, your summer job could be working for a memorabilia company and signing your name, and, you know, you could be paid for it all day long.
Well, hey, guys, as long as you can track it and they're paying taxes and the things like that, but we already know that guys were working summer jobs at Kentucky, and we know somebody personally working jobs at Kentucky in the old days, and they were getting paid a heck of a lot more than the guy next to him cleaning the same stuff out of the horse's stall.
Well, that's the autograph thing. That's the autograph thing. Say you're getting recruited by Alabama, and they're saying we can assure you $10,000 per semester for you to sign your name. USC comes in with their guys and says, hey, we can pay you. We can make sure you get $20,000 a year to sign an autograph. But you know what I'm saying? Where does it stop?
Oh yeah.
But again, it's not wrong that people would like this, and it's not, you know, wrong that people would try to prevent this from happening. It's just what sports has become now, you know. And if you like it, you know, like I said, there's no wrong, wrong answer. There's no right answer to some of this stuff.
Well, we're going to stay tuned to this story, and a guy we've had on before, and we all know, Bill Somm, who was right in the middle of all this NCAA enforcement. Hopefully, we'll have him on next week, and he can at least give us a little insight in how the NCAA would have looked at it during his time, and how they would approach this, and even the moral and ethical side of it. Because I do believe there's moral and ethical and side of it, and not just right and wrong in breaking a rule, but keeping somebody from being able to make an income or better their life because they have a window of opportunity. I mean, the great education aside, what if guys couldn't go on to play Major League Baseball out of high school? Scott Rolen, $100+ million later, okay, he might have got a free education, but the window of opportunity is there, and you got to take advantage of it. Let's move on to something else real quick. Let's talk about the Dodgers. And the reason I want to talk about the Dodgers is because obviously Don Mattingly, somebody that we grew up watching and got to see him in high school, and we've been able to follow him as a Yankee, and he's from our neck of the woods, so to speak. I thought it was really interesting, and Kurt, I know you'll have some thoughts on this, so I'll start with you first. I thought it was pretty interesting and actually a positive of the ownership of the Dodgers, because there was a lot of preseason rumors that if Don Mattingly can't win starting out, they're going to make a change. They want somebody more exciting, blah, blah, blah. The Dodgers were struggling last place. They had some injuries. Things weren't going well for them in through June. All of a sudden, things turn around. And as they said before, pennants aren't won in June. Pennants aren't won in May. They stuck with it. It was very quiet coming out of Los Angeles, other than people who wanted to stir something up in the media. And Donnie Baseball has got these guys back. He got some energy from Puig. I liked how the Dodger ownership just sat there and let baseball take its course.
Well, I think they did a great job of letting the process play out. And you know, we all want something right now. You know, if it's not happening right now, something's got to be wrong and somebody's got to be to blame. But they knew perhaps they had some, you know, injuries. You know, Greinke got hurt in that fight, and they had some guys that weren't performing to their usual standards. But in the course of 162, it usually plays out that those guys will. And I think that's what started to happen with that team. And I think part of the deal was the ownership or the front office, Coletti and those guys, you know, they knew that some of the blame was going to go on them if they, you know, started making wild changes, and that the money they spent in the offseason and a couple of years ago, maybe that wasn't too smart either. So they knew that they were going to be a little bit to blame if they blew things up too. But all in all, everybody just stayed the course. The players started playing. They started pitching better. They started hitting better. You know, and I think, you know, guys like Don Mattingly, they're guys that know the baseball part of it, knew what they had. And those guys know, they've been around enough to know that this thing's going to come out in the wash. And it certainly did. I would have never expected or any team to play like they're playing. But it's a good baseball story when all, like, stuff we talked about earlier is all crazy. This is a really good story, and you know, it's going to be neat to see how it ends.
Okay, so switching gears to – okay, go ahead. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that Mattingly's comeback with his team has been incredible. I read today he's won 40 – he's 40-8. In his last 48 games, and if he wins his next two, it'll be the first time ever a team could go 42-8 through a 50-game, you know, stretch. So, Donnie Baseball, Hall of Famer, he's one of the greatest, and he continues to show us that he can coach. You just got to get out of his way and let him do it.
Okay, so, switching gears here, we've got a question for Coach K and for Kurt Gooksell, but this could also apply to Don Schultheis. Who do you all think are going to be the better teams in the area in Southern Indiana in football and in Evansville? That was for you specifically, Coach K. And Donnie, we can ask the question to you. Who are some of the top high school teams right now in the preseason up in Indianapolis?
Well, let me start, guys. When we talk about teams in the area, the one that jumps up for me right away is going to be Castle out of Warrick County. I think they're going to be solid. I think Central is going to have a solid team down here. I think Wrights is kind of struggling a little bit. Memorial's going to be small on the lines and a new quarterback. They got a strong running back, but you know what? If you can't open a hole for a running back, it doesn't matter how quick or how strong they are. It's tough to get yards. Modern day, of course, Coach Gable, he's always got something coming out of there. So I don't think football in Evansville is going to be off the charts as far as really good quality. I think it's going to be a solid year for most teams, but I really look at Central and Castle. And then, of course, North has a new football coach, so we'll have to see what they put together. But that's kind of how I'm seeing it playing out, at least early on down here in Evansville.
Well, I agree with Kenny on, like, in Southern Indiana about the teams. A lot of teams are going to be playing a lot of young players and a lot of reload situations. Jasper, they lost a lot of really strong players and leadership from last year's team. They do have several, you know, returning guys that played last year, including Nolan Aaron's a quarterback, and Austin Hollis is a tight end, and they've got some needs that they're going to have to fill along the line of scrimmage and on defense. Southridge returns a lot. They're going to be pretty good as well. They've got a new coach in Scott Buning, but they return their quarterback and several backs and several linemen. So, you know, those are going to be two really good teams. But I'm like, Coach, I don't, as far as outstanding teams or teams that can make a long tournament run, we're going to have to wait and see on that, because it just seems like a lot of people are retooling a bit this year, and sometimes that happens on a year-to-year basis.
Well, up here in the Indianapolis area, Joe, it's interesting you bring up the question, because I know one of the guests that you guys have had on the show several times, Kyle Niedenreth, just put an article together. And if your listeners want to get a glimpse of some of the top teams in the area, they can go to IndyStar.com. And but just to give you the highlights, I mean, obviously Cathedral is a perennial power up here. It seems like they're moving up to 5A after winning three state championships in 4A. I will put a plug in for one of your guests, Coach K and Bill Somm. His son, Zach, is starting tight end for Cathedral. He started last year. He's a senior tight end this year. He's committed to Ball State. He's one of the top football players in the area up here. And Terry McLaurin is another wide receiver for Cathedral, and he's committed to Ohio State. The Buckeyes offered him this summer, among others, and he took over. But some of the other teams, Warren Central, who also is a perennial power, is one of Kyle's top eight teams. Indianapolis Pike, Warren Central, who came off winning the state championship last year. Carmel seems to be in the mix every year. Center Grove, and Kyle's number one team in the area, at least here in the preseason, is Ben Davis, and Cathedral plays Ben Davis in 2 weeks at Lucas Oil Stadium on a Friday night, and it should be a heck of an opener for the high school season up in this area.
You know, I think we'll have an opportunity to pick the brain of both Bill Somm and Kyle Niedenreth on shows going forward, hopefully next week and the week following. But you know, this is that time of year when these teams, you know, start to get ready for their scrimmages, open whatever you call them, games. And you know, how about the weather? How wonderful must it be for these coaches and these players, Kurt, to be out in August and practicing in this kind of weather?
Kenny, I just noticed that Kurt has dropped off. I'll try to get him back on.
All right, well, let's just go with that. Don, if you're a football player, you remember what August is like, 100 degrees, heat index of 110, it's 95 at night. I mean, these guys have got to be, they got to feel like they're at the amusement park.
Yeah, this is not the preseason football practices of old, and I just remember growing up when our father was assistant football coach, and now they'd have 2-a-days, and it was scorching hot, and they'd have them in the morning and in the evening to avoid that hot weather. But this year it's been, you know, we've equated it to almost early October-like weather, because up here in central Indiana, it's the last several days have only been in the mid-70s as a high. There's been a nice breeze, and I don't know what that does for the conditioning of these football players. I don't know if it makes a difference or not in helping them or hurting them in their conditioning, but it's got to make practice a lot more enjoyable for the players and maybe even the coaches as they can get maybe a lot more reps in and get quality play as they're teaching their teams and going through the different drills.
And I would throw this back at Kurt. He's back with us. Kurt, this weather is just, it's been awesome. as far as being outside and if you're putting those shoulder pads on. But as Don Schulteis posed, have you heard from the coaches? Are they concerned that it's been too cool? Or do they feel like they're getting a lot more out of their young people in practice? You know, this weather is very unseasonable, especially here in southern Indiana as well as across the state. Is it a detriment? Is it a positive? Have you heard anything from the coaches?
No, I think they like it a lot better because I think the kids like it a lot better in turn. And, you know, in turn they or have a better practice situation. And yeah, I heard you guys talking about the two-a-days, and I got caught the tail end. Those things are, like, extinct now because the school's starting so early. The way it correlates to practice, I think that was the bigger concern with coaches than anything. They, you know, they've been going to school, and they're just getting their one practice in for the most part. So that's
How do they make up for the lack of two-a-days? I know the rules have changed so much that a lot of these football teams are actually doing practices to some extent through, you know, in the month of July and maybe even earlier than that. So maybe for our listeners, you could shed a little light on how that whole thing has changed with regards to football teams, because it used to be you'd start, you know, in August, have 2 days for almost 2 weeks in the old days, and then you go into your season for about a week of practice and maybe once a day, and then the season would start. But things are a lot different now, right?
Yeah, there's no doubt about it because the IHSAA relaxed all the rules as far as working with players in the summer. I think all the teams get like 2 weeks of, they call it, you know, training camp, if you will, and they put in a lot of stuff that you would normally put into two-a-days into those sessions. And then when they start the official practice, you hit the ground running. And I think two-a-days back in the day, too, I heard you guys talking about it, were a time for guys to get in shape, kind of like the NFL training camp. These kids now are in awesome shape for the most part, and you don't have to spend a lot of time getting in shape during your allotted practice time. It's all football or it's all whatever sport you're playing in. And I think since they relaxed some of those rules, I think it's really helped the coaches hit the ground running. And I know people sometimes abuse those rules too and go overboard, but that's just part of it. But I think it's helped the coaches get a lot done in the summer and the off season, and then when practice starts, they can really focus on things that they need to.
All right, guys, we're coming down to about 12 minutes on the clock, and I want to touch on two things before we go, ending the first show of the second season of the Coach K and Joe Show. Again, I'm the coach, Ken Schulteis, and we're talking here with Joe, obviously, and Kurt Guxel and Don Schulteis. Guys, Kurt, I'll start with you on this just real quickly. Pirates, Cardinals, and Reds. Pirates, Cardinals, and Reds. And all of a sudden, when we were starting to think, hey, the Pirates have solved it, they've figured out how to make it through the whole season, keep it together mentally, keep it together physically, they're going to get this done. They've lost, I think, 8 out of their last 10 road games. All of a sudden, it's gone from 6 or 7 games back for the Cardinals to 2.5 for the Reds. Cubs are nowhere to be seen, but Kurt, that division is shaping up to be probably the best in baseball at this time, or at least one of the best.
Oh, I think so. And there for a while, it was just, you know, it was a horrible division. But the Pirate pitching is so good, I think they're going to be able to withstand this. And every team has those down times. And I think they're just too good of a baseball team. I think they're going to win the division. I don't know if they're built for the playoff type of baseball, but with that pitching that they throw out there and some of the position players that they've developed, I mean, they've got people up and down the lineup, up and down the pitching staff. Their bullpen has been good. I think the Reds are kind of like the Dodgers. You look at that team, and you know what you have traditionally with some of those guys, and you just got to let it play through. And they're doing a great job with that Johnny Cueto pitching. Cingrani and some of those other guys that have filled in have done a great job. And they're kind of just, you know, letting the process play out and starting to hit their stride. They've been playing really good baseball. And the Cardinals, it's amazing how they've stayed around. And that's one of those culture type of things. That's what they expect no matter who goes down. They've had all kinds of pitching problems with guys like Garcia going down, Mott out of their bullpen. But they've kind of pieced things together. They've had like 6 different rookie starting pitchers take the hill for Mike Matheny. And I think they're the
Now, those three, they're the biggest question mark. Can they continue to keep piecing things together at a championship level, at a division contending, or a wild card contending type of level? But going further, to the end of the season, I like the Pirates, and I really like the Reds, the way they've been playing.
You know, the Cardinals have been one of those teams that you have to tip your hat to. I think Mike Matheny, since he's taken over that that club, has just done a great job of putting people in the right places. And the guys have given him what he's needed on most nights, night in and night out. And, you know, I know Mike Matheny. I've got to meet him a few years ago at a Scott Rolen function. He's a good and faithful man. And a lot of people questioned whether he could come into that role that quickly. And, again, players have to get it done on the field. Pitchers have to pitch. But I think the fact that Mike was such an outstanding catcher and really a student of the game, studied the game coming all the way through, has really helped him, Kurt, to take a position that a lot of people thought, you know, they're going to plug him in there and they're going to struggle for a few years, and they know that. Well, they haven't at all.
Well, again, I thought I go back to the way that they go about things organizationally. And I'm not saying you could throw anybody in that manager's office and win, but, you know, as an organization, they have a way that they expect guys to play, a certain, standard at a championship level. And I think Matheny's a guy that, you know, obviously played there, understood that. And if you have a guy that players respect, that goes a long way. And it's not always the baseball, tactics or the basketball X's and O's. Can you run a locker room? Can you get along with people, the people skill type of things, which is the case in anything, business, school, whatever. But I think he's a good guy for that, and I think people respect him, and they play hard for him. And as an organization, they have guys that they brought up through the system or guys that they've traded for that fit what they want, and that goes a long way too.
Yeah, the last thing that I want to bring up before our first show ends, Don, this is pushing towards you. The last few weeks we've had news come out, last couple months, Jaquan Lyle of Bossy High School down in Evansville, one of the top returning seniors into the high school as far as from a college standpoint. He has committed to Louisville, and not long after that, he announces that he's leaving Bossy High School to attend prep school in Huntington, West Virginia. It's a very well-known school out there, and he is out there presently. But also, a team in Indianapolis lost a key player on their team, participated for Cathedral in the championship game of the state tournament. He chooses to move on as well.
Yeah, it's a player for Cathedral's Jalen Coleman. He was all-star guard, really, for the Irish and really a key member of their state championship or state championship game run where they got beat by Carmel by 4 points last year. And I'm just really disappointed personally because I wanted to watch him for the next 2 years. He was only a sophomore, and he was just going to get better and better. I tell you, that was a total surprise to me. As I look back, I guess I shouldn't be surprised. I really felt like Trey Lyles was going to make a move. I'll have to admit I was wrong. He's enrolled at Tech and will be completing his senior season there. But losing Jalen, according to his father and the information that I got, it was due to financial reasons. He and his younger brother, Isaiah, who's a freshman now, both got full ride to go to La Lumiere. And, I guess he can't argue with that, but it's just it's a shame that these kids have to go to these prep schools and miss out on their, in some cases, junior, senior years of high school. And we all miss out on following them and watching them play.
Well, I'm really disappointed. The state of Indiana is a great basketball state. At least it always was before. And to see these two wonderful talents leave their teammates, especially in a situation like Bossy High School, Those guys have played together now for 3 years. They're going into their fourth year together. There really was some high expectations. It puts your school on the map, and Bossy struggles sometimes with identity in the Evansville, Southern Indiana area. It puts your school on the map, and to put in all that time and all that effort. And as a coach, now Kurt, I got to say, as a coach who has had a player who you prepared and you were preparing him to be your key man as a starter, he's played for a couple years, been an integral part of the team, and all of a sudden he decides not to play to go forward with another sport, but in this situation decides to go to a prep school because he somehow believes it's going to further his game. Coleman going to La La Muir, I'm telling you, most Indianapolis teams beat La La Muir. I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed for a lot of people. I do not think, and I'll go on record, I do not think, unless it's a classroom concern, that Jaquan Lyle is going to be any better off as a player after next year than if he'd have stayed at Bossy High School.
I agree wholeheartedly, because you know what kind of type of basketball teams play in this area. They play the same, those coaches in Indianapolis or wherever in the state of Indiana know what they're doing. And I just can't believe you're going to develop any better under somebody else's watch that may not know what you need to work on or whatever. And it gets to the point for me, some of these guys, when they show up at college, that's when I start paying attention. Otherwise, I'd just rather go watch two good high school teams or players that really like to play and coaches that really are really good at what they do and not worry about all the recruiting stuff and all that stuff, because I'm just disappointed in guys like you said, like Coleman and Lyles and Jaquan Lyle from Boston, that they want to do this. Because you guys have all played sports with your friends and for your school, and there's just nothing better than that. And there's a certain accountability to that too. You know, they're going to go out, and if they perform bad, nobody's going to care. I just think you get a better training and it's a better situation to just stay where you're at and be a part of something that's neat. So, but you know, they got to do what they got to do, and that's what they're going to do, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I don't blame the kids, but I just blame a little bit of the system and the people that are pushing them.
Yeah.
Maybe it's some of these coaches. I mean, I don't know. I'm a Louisville fan and a Patino fan, but do they steer them to these prep schools because they know these coaches? Or in Coleman's case, do they certain handlers tell him, oh, you got to go to, I call it La Cuckoo, not La Lumiere. but they steer him to La Cuckoo so that, you know, he gets more exposure or whatever. I'm going to tell you right now that Jalen Coleman got all the exposure that he needed and would have continued to get that exposure at Indianapolis Cathedral High School. And, you know, 20, 30 years from now, he would have had memories and connections with people that he's going to really miss out on. It's just sad.
He really changed a wonderful legacy that he was developing, and I just don't think he'll be a better player for it. I think the competition in coaching in Indianapolis is as good as anywhere. I know when I was coaching, they had top-notch coaches, but the competition's gotten even better in Indianapolis. We got 2 minutes left, guys. Real quick, 30 seconds from Don, then 30 seconds from Kurt. James Blackman decommitting from IU. Don.
Kentucky, Kentucky, Kentucky.
That was quick. But I'm done worrying about it. And a guy makes a decision when he's 13 or 14. Do you guys know what you wanted to do and where you wanted to go as a 14-year-old? He may come back to Indiana. I don't know. But personally, wherever he goes, that's great for him, I guess.
Well, and that's why I'll go back on record in what I said last year. I'll say it just a little bit stronger, and please, if I meet you coaches later on, don't get too mad at me. Shame on the college coaches that are offering kids in eighth grade and freshman year scholarships to their school. let the process work itself out. Let them know you're interested. Stay involved with them. But it's not necessary to be throwing scholarships out to these young boys that are not prepared to make decisions like that. They need some guidance from their coaches and their teachers and their parents as well. All right, we got 1 minute to go. It's been a great first show. Mike Pegram, Sean Morrison from the Fort Wayne Sentinel, Pegs.com. Sean, you know, Pegs was great today. He shed a lot of light on IU, and he even mentioned, guys, that Blackman still had IU on his list. I thought that was interesting,
right,
on what kind of situation that would put Crean in. Joe, you got any thoughts before we end up the first show of season two of the Coach K and Joe Show?
Well,
no thoughts, Joe?
What? No, I have no thoughts other than work. Other than I'm doing the technical thing. You're not hearing in your ear that you know, I'm trying to get the ending going here. But Ben, my final thoughts are: great show, great first show, and you know, hopefully we'll see you all next week. So
yeah, and hopefully, Joe, guys, Kurt and Don and the other people that'll be joining us will be able to expand our live listenership. And some of the news we've been waiting on, hopefully it'll get finished up, and you guys will be even more of a Coach K and Joe household name.
Yep, and for the coach, for Don, for Kurt, I'm Joe Milligan, and we'll see you next week on the Coach K and Joe Show.
The following presentation of the Coach K and Joe Show was brought to you by Idea Fusion Media, Ubelar & Sons of Jasper and Vincennes, Harmon Dental Care, and by Jasper Today. See you next week.
He told me to call in at 20 after 11 because they're on.